Mike, I know politics can be a real drag, but a listener sent in a topic about the U.S. Senate that I could not pass up.
You could say this one is pretty sweet.
Okay.
Let's go.
Since 1965, there has been a tradition for one desk on the U.S. Senate floor to have a drawer full of candy for members of the body.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
No, we have more to say.
Okay. This practice was started by actor-turned-senator George Murphy, who served the state of California from 1965 to 1971. He liked keeping candy at his desk for himself, despite it being against the rules. No candy, they said. But
no
Murphy
candy.
Said, not on my watch.
In 1968, he moved desks and ended up at desk 24, which is located near a busy entrance to the Senate floor. As many of his colleagues now passed by his desk throughout the day, he began offering them treats from his stash, and it quickly earned the nickname of Candy Desk.
Murphy only served one term, losing to John Tenney. During his term in office, Murphy developed throat cancer and part of his larynx had to be removed. He could only speak in a whisper after his surgery. Between health concerns and his support for the Vietnam War, he didn't get the support needed for another term.
Murphy's political career was over, but thank God the candy desk would live on. It's America, damn it!
Okay.
Paul Fannin, Harrison Smith, Roger Jespin, and Steve Sims all continued the new candy desk tradition after Murphy's term was over, with Sims expanding the selection from hard candies to chocolate candies as well.
During this time, the position of the candy desk wasn't fixed in place, as it would move slightly depending on the seating chart.
However, starting in the 97th Congress back in 1981, the desk location has remained static, and whoever is assigned to that desk is responsible for its upkeep. We mentioned earlier that this is a busy part of the Senate floor. So it is on the eastern door, or near the eastern door to the Senate chamber on the Republican side. And it's in the back of the section, which is near the elevators that lead to the Capitol subway system, which in and of itself is a story for another time.
Okay, put that one on the list.
I think we're going to do it next. It's okay. It's wild.
The public was not aware of the candy desk tradition until 1985, when Thomas Slade Gorton III put out a press release stating he was now the occupant of this desk and would carry on the rich traditions started by Murphy.
Was that your press release voice?
I liked it. Why not, like, you know, zhuzh it up a little bit?
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. We'll have a link to that press release in the show notes for you. I found it thanks to Wikipedia sourcing. And in it, Gorton is quoted as saying that he would provide, quote, ample quantities of candies made in his home state of Washington. He continued in this article saying, quote, I hope this will provide the Senate with the energy and stamina to see us through the difficult problems we face.
I don't know what happened to the accent at the end.
It really fell apart.
Was that a Washington accent? What is that? Like,
also,
is that what that is?
This was in the 80s. I don't know why we're talking like it's the 19-teens, you know?
Because the guy's name is Thomas Slade Gorton III. That's why. All right? If your name has a number at it, you talk like this. That's just how it goes.
Okay.
The desk was also referenced in 1997 when Senator Kit Bond was discussing the National Defense Authorization Act of 1998 when he compared the size of microchips to candy he had taken from the desk, which is ridiculous.
I don't know anything about Kit Bond, but I feel like maybe they were a person that also said information superhighway.
Yeah.
You know, same sort of energy.
Same energy.
This episode of Ungenius is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Maybe you're not in the U.S. Senate, but maybe you have candy to sell. So you're going to want a website with a bunch of photos. So they have awesome galleries on Squarespace. And you can get started, right? You're busy making candy. You're not a web developer designer. So you want to get started with Squarespace Blueprint. You choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. And then you launch your website and you get discovered quickly with integrated optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. But let's get back to your candy business, right? You want people to sign up to become newsletter subscribers. That's really easy to build. It's all within Squarespace. You can engage your community, drive sales, and simplify audience management. You can introduce your brand or business, or suites in this case, to unlimited new subscribers with flexible email templates, and then create custom segments to send targeted campaigns. Built-in analytics measure the impact of every send. And of course, Squarespace has tools for selling as well, physical and digital goods. You can set up courses, teach people how to make their own candy, all sorts of great stuff, all built in. And that's what I love about Squarespace. All these tools are integrated and they're waiting for you, but you don't need them all on day one, probably, right? You're just starting out. So you can start and then add things on as you need over time without having to rebuild the whole thing, which is really cool. Head on over to squarespace.com to sign up for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/ungenius to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain name. That's squarespace.com/ungenius, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for the show. Our thanks to Squarespace for their support of Ungenius and all of Relay FM.
Stephen, you mentioned that Gorton filled the desk of Candy from his home state of Washington, but he's not the only senator to use the position to bring attention to their home state, right?
Not even close. So from 1997 to 2007, Rick Santorum served as senator from the state of Pennsylvania. As such, he stocked the desk with candy from the Hershey's Company, based in Pennsylvania.
I don't like Hershey's. Chocolate is bad. Yeah, chocolate is bad. It's bad.
That's the hottest take we've ever had on this podcast.
No, it's really not. Get good chocolate. Hershey's tastes like chalk. It's gross. Get good chocolate.
Well, Rick Santorum stuffed the desk full of it, as well as treats from the company named Just Born, which produced Mike and Ike and Hot Tamales.
I mean, Ghirardelli, right? That's good American chocolate.
Okay.
Hershey's, bad American chocolate.
Well, maybe if you're from Pennsylvania, it's all you have to work with.
Hershey shipped roughly 100 pounds of chocolate, unfortunately, and other candy 4 times a year for Santorum to fill the desk with. He probably had to chuck it all out because no one was eating it. When he lost his re-election race in 2006, Hershey stopped its shipments, complete with its own press release.
In it, Kirk Saville, no numbers after Kirk's name, he was a spokesman for Hershey, said, "We are pleased to be a small part of sweetening up congressional proceedings."
Wyoming's Craig Thomas was sat next at the desk. This led to a problem, as Wyoming has no members of the National Confectioners Association, the trade organization that promotes candy and candy makers across the United States.
So Senate ethics rules say no members can accept gifts worth more than $100 a year from a single source, with an exception for larger gifts of objects created or produced in the state the senator is from, and only if those gifts are to be used by more than just the senator and their staff.
So that explains why Hershey could send so much bad chocolate to the Senate, because it was in the state of the Santorum state.
It was more for than just his staff, right? It was for anyone in the Senate. However, this doesn't solve the Wyoming problem, because they're just not a large presence in the candy industry. However, a workaround was conceived of asking basically every small business in the state making candy or chocolate to give small amounts of candy that could be rotated in and out of the desk.
This seems like such a logistical challenge that somebody had to deal with. Imagine if your government took the brain power that was required here and applied it to something other than just stocking a desk with chocolate. Like, this whole thing does feel like there is a sweetness to it, but I feel like
quite literally.
You want a fully, you know, like you want a fully like active, great government first. And then it makes the candy a bit... But anyway, the desk popped up in the news again in 2020 when Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy was spotted enjoying a candy bar from the desk during the first impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Could you not wait, Cassidy?
As of 2023, the desk is overseen by Indiana Senator Todd Young after Pat Toomey retired in January last year.
The candy desk on the Republican side of the U.S. Senate isn't the only one around. Since the mid-1980s, Democrats have had their own, less famous candy desk. The sweets are stashed in a roll-top desk on the Senate floor that belongs to the Senate Democratic Conference Secretary, which I assume is just full of granola bars.
Until he left the Senate in 2015, Jay Rockefeller was responsible for collecting money from his colleagues and purchasing candy for the desk.
Good team effort there.
Mm-hmm. Our thanks to Chaz for sending in this topic. If you want to read more about the candy desk, we have some links in your podcast player. They're also on our website at relay.fm/ungenius/213. There you can send us feedback or follow-up. So drop us a link to one of your favorite Wikipedia topics, and it could go on the list for future consideration. Until next time we get a cavity in public office, Mike, say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.